If long context RL has felt like throwing rewards at a giant context window and hoping the model gets wiser, this paper might actually have found where the steering wheel is.
Welcome back to Exploring Next, episode 301. I'm Justy, Cody is here, and today we're talking about Long Act, which is one of those research papers where I started skeptical and then, annoyingly, got more interested the deeper I went.
Yeah, same, because the claim isn't just we tuned rewards better. They're saying long context reasoning leaves visible fingerprints inside the model, especially in query and key activations. And you can use that to decide which weights deserve updates during RL.
Right, and that's why I think people should care right now. Everybody's shipping bigger context windows, but the actual experience still breaks when you ask a model to reason across a giant contract, a week of chat history, or some agent trace that turned into a novella.
Exactly. The paper starts from that pain point. Long context RL has mostly gone after external knobs. Better synthetic data, denser rewards, curriculum tricks, or changing the architecture. Long Act goes inside the box and says, maybe not every hidden dimension matters equally when the context gets huge.
And from a product angle, that's the whole question. Is this research wallpaper, or does it help somebody build a model that actually handles enterprise docs, support transcripts, coding sessions, whatever, without retraining the whole universe?
You mean your favorite strategy, which is to ship before understanding why it works.
Cody, if the demo is good enough, yes. That's called product instinct. You'd keep it on a whiteboard until retirement.
Okay, whiteboard voice for 30 seconds. They look at attention projections, specifically Q and K. Input hidden states get projected by WQ and WK into query and key vectors. In long context settings, they observe sparse, high magnitude dimensions inside those activations. Not everywhere, just certain channels lighting up hard.
Break that mapping down. Because the clever part is not merely big activations exist, it's how they turn that into selective training.
Yeah, so each output channel in the projection corresponds directly to a row in the projection weight matrix. If a particular query or key dimension spikes, the row that produced that dimension is probably carrying important signal. Long Act uses that as saliency. During RL, instead of updating all those projection weights uniformly, it updates only the rows tied to the high magnitude channels and freezes the rest.
So fewer parameters move, but the ones that move are the ones the model itself already seems to rely on when context gets long.
Exactly, and that's why this doesn't feel arbitrary. They connected to quantization work too. Prior studies found those outlier activations are disproportionately important, enough that people preserve them carefully during quantization and KV cache compression. Long Act basically says, if they're that important for preserving behavior, maybe they're also the right handles for improving behavior.
I like that. It has the smell of a real mechanism, not a vibes-based training hack. Also, the numbers are solid enough to pay attention. They report roughly an 8% lift on Longbench V2, better generalization on Ruler, and they say it keeps helping across GRPO, DAPO, even KL-Cov.
That cross-algorithm part matters a lot, Justy. If the gain only showed up on one RL recipe, I'd worry it was some weird interaction. But universality across different policy optimization setups suggests the sparse update rule is doing something fundamental, not just flattering one trainer.
And they did the ablation you want. Updating rows linked to low-magnitude activations got, what, 29.82 overall on Longbench V2? Their high magnitude version got 36.73. That's not a rounding error paper cut. That's a real gap.
Yep, plus the case analysis is kind of brutal. When they disrupt the high magnitude activations, the model can collapse into repetitive loops. When they neutralize low magnitude ones, reasoning stays mostly coherent. That's a pretty direct sign these channels are carrying the load in long context reasoning.
Repetitive loops are also what happens when you ask you about weekend projects, by the way. The list is now longer than most product roadmaps.
That's fair. I did add reproduce long act on a smaller model to the list while reading this.
Of course you did. But okay, back to the shipping question. I don't think this is for the average app team. This is for labs, foundation model groups, maybe startups training domain long context models for legal, finance, support, research agents. People already running RL and trying to squeeze more reasoning per GPU hour.
Right, because it's a training time method. End users won't see a toggle labeled long act, but model builders might feel it as better long document QA, more stable retrieval over 128K context, or agents that don't get lost halfway through a long trajectory. And because it's sparse updates, there's a plausible efficiency story too, though the paper is more focused on quality than wall clock savings.
I did have one small caution. The paper's core evidence is strongest around attention Q and K projections. That's sensible since attention is where long-range context gets organized, but I still want to know how model-specific the saliency patterns are. Qwen38b is in the visualizations. I'd love broader replication.
Same. Well, actually, no, let me sharpen that. I don't doubt the phenomenon exists elsewhere. I want to know how stable the selected rows are across tasks, context lengths, and checkpoints. If the saliency mask swings wildly, operationalizing this gets trickier. If it's stable enough, this becomes a very practical fine-tuning recipe.
And the market angle depends on that stability. If every team needs a research scientist babysitting the saliency selection, it stays niche. If this can slot into existing gRPO or dAPO pipelines with sane defaults, then yeah, it has legs. Especially for anyone selling reason over your giant internal corpus as a product promise.
Also, tiny off-topic confession, I was literally debugging a memory issue at 3 a.m. last weekend, and this paper passed my 3 a.m. rule. I would absolutely lose sleep testing whether salient row updates reduce gradient noise on long rollouts.
Your wife must love that for you. And yes, if a paper survives the 3 a.m. rule, I upgrade it from interesting PDF to a B+ with upward mobility.
B+? Justy, for a method that gets gains on Longbench V2, Ruler, and works across multiple RL algorithms, that's hostile grading.
No, that's discipline. A- if I see replication outside the original setup and a cleaner path into training stacks people already use. Fair. Build next. I'd tell listeners to grab a small open long context model and reproduce the observation step before anything else. Plot query and key activation magnitudes across heads and dimensions on ruler or long bench style samples. If you don't see the outliers, don't pretend you implemented the paper. Yeah, and if your hands owe.